Hey everybody, welcome to Connectivity 206. Nick died, so I'm the Captain Toad now. I'm Adam Abunasser, and I'm joined by Donald Terrio.
Ready for adventure!
Oh, wow. And Brian Rose.
What's up, everybody?
So, yeah, we're going to talk about video games. Donald said that he's been playing video games, so... Donald?
Yeah, I've got a couple of things here that there should be reviews up for this for Nintendo World Report by the time you hear this. At least I think there will be. What I just got, although I haven't started yet, Zero Escape 3, Zero Time Dilemma.
Oh.
But I've been putting most of my time the last couple days into Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
That game, I mean, it looks weird. It looks very much like something Atlus would put out, aside from a Fire Emblem. You know, it doesn't look like a Fire Emblem game, but how does it play? Does it play like Persona? Does it play like more Atlus kind of style? Like, what is it exactly, I guess?
It's very much an Atlus RPG, except they've added some Fire Emblem influences into it. Like, you have the Fire Emblem... The level up sound is the Fire Emblem one, but you basically have a Shin Megami Tensei stat system. There's weapon triangles in the game as well. So that carries over from Fire Emblem. They've put the two things together and they've come up with something that's wholly, it's supposed to be wholly original, but it does hew very close to Persona, just without as much of the social aspect of it.
Now, the Shin Megami Tensei games have, like, an element circle. Does this have that, or does it just have the weapon circle?
It has both.
Okay.
Enemies have different types of weapons that they're weak to, which is actually something that happens in Shin Megami Tensei as well. But there is an elemental chart as well. And as you use different types of attacks on enemies, you'll fill them in, and it eventually will just reveal everything that they're weak to, resist, nullify, whatever.
Okay. How's the story? I know it's supposed to be, like, super Japanese, but is it too Japanese?
It's not for me. Like, it's not too Japanese for me, but I kind of have some interest in, like, the Japanese idol industry, which is what this is based in anyway. Because you're trying to take your characters through as they try to become ultra popular actors, singers, dancers, whatever. And it is very Japanese. There's been some interesting moments here early on with because the dungeons are basically, they crash a concert for the first two.
Oh.
So you're basically trying to work your way through that, but a lot of the character development doesn't come in the main chapters, except for, like, your female main character. A lot of that is built out in side stories that you do in between the main chapters of the game.
Okay.
And so go ahead, Adam.
How far would you guess you are?
Right now, as of this recording, I'm about 15 hours in. I'm hopefully going to be about 40, 45 by the time you hear this, enough to write the review, but, I'm in chapter 3 right now, and I can't recall if it's 9 or 11 chapters that are in this game altogether.
My question to you is this something that's going to appeal to Fire Emblem fans? Because I could see people who like the Atlus style of RPGs, I can see them getting into this because it's kind of like that. But as somebody who's really into Fire Emblem more than Persona or Shin Megami Tensei, I mean, does this appeal in any way to Fire Emblem fans, or is this more of a Atlus influence?
It's more of an Atlus influence. It's more of an Atlus game. I mean, a lot of the Fire Emblem references come, they're basically little sly references in fan service, and it's really, so far, it's really focused on the original game or Awakening. Like all the bosses I fought so far were bosses that were in Fire Emblem Awakening. So
okay.
There's a so if you were really into the characters in those games, like, your main character's main Fire Emblem reference is Crom. Except he happened to lose his memory somewhere along the line. So,
of course.
Yeah, yeah, it's a Japanese RPG. We can't go 5 minutes without Amnesia. But yeah, if you enjoyed Shadow Dragon and Awakening, you'll probably dig this. But you have to understand you're not getting a strategy RPG in any sense of the word. You're getting a regular RPG with a lot of Fire Emblem trappings in it.
I mean, what if I don't care about Fire Emblem, but I had fun with like half of Persona 4? Would I enjoy this game?
Yeah, because there's not as much of the... Was it the social half or the dungeon half that you enjoyed?
The first half. I kind of like, you know, it's an RPG, so you only play half of it and then you get tired.
Same with me. I really like the social aspect, but, you know, just crawling around dungeons is kind of boring to me. That's why I haven't gone back into it.
Yeah, because...
In terms of Persona.
Yeah, the dungeons aren't that long, so I don't think you'll get as bored of them as you might have with some of the later Persona dungeons.
Are they randomly generated, and is there only like one song in the game?
They are not randomly generated. They are locked in, and the music does change for each one.
Is it like good music, or is it like boom, 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 boom? Like,
yeah, it's
the
it's
same
really good.
Bassy song over and over again.
It's really good music, and you don't, and they're like, the ones I've done so far have been pretty short, so it doesn't have time to really get annoying.
Cool.
Okay, and then your other game, did you say you haven't started it yet?
I just got, I got the code today, and I recently replayed its two prior games to get ready for this, just to make sure I was squared on the story. So I think I'm ready for it, but it's not going to take me 40, 50 hours to be able to say I can review this like it will with Tokyo Mirage Sessions. So I'll probably start it when we're done here and hopefully get far enough into it, because one thing is a lot of this game is going to be centered around the story, and for obvious reasons, they don't want us talking about the story before launch. After launch, even.
You said you just played the first two. Can you talk about those? Because I've never really played that series, like, at all.
Yeah, the first two, there were it was called 999, or 9 hours, 9 persons, 9 doors on the DS, and then Virtue's Last Reward on the 3DS and Vita. They are visual novels with a lot of time-skipping elements into them that occasionally break it up with a puzzle that basically plays under adventure game rules. So get to this golden ending in each game, and to do that you have to play through, in the first game it's you have to try different combinations of escape rooms to get to the golden ending eventually, and then in the second game you're making different decisions at various points to unlock certain things that will eventually get you to that golden ending.
So, is this a series where I would have to play all the other series just to, like, understand this latest one, or is this something where I could just go in and it would be easy to play?
I think the idea is that you at least would want to play the second game first, because it explains the first one. At least everything you need to know gets explained at some point in the story.
Was that one on the Vita? Because I have I got one on PlayStation Plus for free. I'm not sure which one that is.
Yeah, that was the second game on the Vita, okay. Virtue's Last Reward. So, if you have that, I would dig it out. I was able to beat it in a few days, but I was also playing it constantly, even during work when I'm working from home. So,
is there a way to get the first one, or is it just track down a DS cart? Was it re-released anywhere?
Right now, as of this recording, the only way to get it is the DS, or there's an iOS version, I believe, that just doesn't have the puzzle elements in it. It just has the story.
Oh.
So if you wanted to catch up that way, you could. But
Are the puzzles any good?
They're all right. A lot of trial and error, a lot of adventure gamey stuff. But they were teasing just before a certain trade show we'll be talking about here in a bit, that the first game was going to come to Steam.
Oh.
Because the third game, Zero Time Dilemma, is also coming to Steam, I think 2 days after it comes out on 3DS and Vita.
Well, what about the second one?
the second one's probably going to follow shortly after.
Yeah, okay. I would imagine.
Yeah, because, if you're going to play the third game of a series, it kind of helps to have the first two there as well.
Yeah.
Sure.
And that is a big bummer with DS games, is there are a lot of, like, sequels and newer games coming out on the 3DS that people just can't find the original physical copies anymore. Like, there aren't as many places to buy physical, like, older games. And people are so used to buying digital stuff that you just can't find, like, the originals anymore.
Yeah, and they don't make DS cards anymore. Like, there were some sites that were selling, like, this is the last printing ever of this DS game recently. And for whatever reason, third parties have not had the opportunity to go in on the DS Virtual Console. Everything that we've gotten in North America so far has been a first-party game. Because if it was on Virtual Console right now, I'd say go for it. Especially since, as we're recording this, sadly it won't be the case once this goes live. The second game is actually on sale on 3DS. As part of Nintendo.
It's a very weird issue. I mean, I don't want to like throw us into a Virtual Console discussion, but you don't see a lot of third parties there. You see a lot of re-releases of games that are on other systems, on other Virtual Console systems. It's usually just one a week. It's pretty weird.
Well, Nintendo does those all internally, right?
Yeah.
So they pick the games, they port the games.
Yeah. I imagine that they talk to publishers about the games they want on there.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that in some cases Nintendo will actually ask publishers for specific games if they can get them. But, yeah, I know for GBA that they're really branching out. Like, they just had Drolldozer come out the day before we record this, which is a really good DS or a really good GBA game. But yeah, at this point, if they wanted to get the DS library and GBA libraries, especially to where they should be, they'd probably have to do multiple release weeks.
Yeah, I agree. And we haven't really seen that. This week it was like Donkey Kong Country 2 or 3, I forget which one. It's on the 3DS Virtual Console.
Actually had three games out on Virtual Consoles, but it was like Mega Man 7 on 3DS, and then Drolldozer and Super Paper Mario on Wii U.
Yeah, I was thinking of the week before, I think. It was recent, but yeah, it's... some weeks you just get one release, and it's a game that's already been on other Virtual Console systems, and it's kind of like, yeah, this is cool, but I'm ready for something new. But
see, I don't even want to...
I mean, what can you do?
I don't even want to buy anything on Virtual Console anymore because I'm about to buy a new piece of Nintendo hardware. So I don't want to drop like $80 on Virtual Console games on my Wii U if I'm going to get some new system that like has some weird porting process or upgrade fee or God knows what.
I think Nintendo needs to get rid of that. I think it's pretty lame that even for Super Nintendo titles on 3DS that you have to pay more for a game you already have on the Wii U, but it's really stupid, I think.
Like, I understand how they would justify it to themselves, but it still, like, bums me out. Like, come on.
I don't think it's even justifiable.
You really need that dollar.
They adjusted a few things. But I mean, no, I understand that you have to pay like maybe a dollar to get those kind of features. That's fine. But I'm referring to like, I have Super Mario World on Wii and Wii U. I don't need to pay the full $8 again to play it on 3DS.
Right.
Like, that's the bad part.
So I don't want to load up on those.
If it was just like a dollar fee to transfer, I mean, that's fine. But $8? No. I shouldn't be paying the full price for it again.
I think the thing that angers me the most is that the Wii U menu doesn't have, like, icons for your Wii games.
Yeah.
Like, why...
Unless you rebuy them or get them as a My Nintendo reward.
Right. Like, that's frustrating. Like, if I bought this... what were they called? WiiWare. If I bought this WiiWare game... Like, I own it, I can access it on the system, but it makes me go boot into another menu just so that I can look at it and be like, oh yeah, I have Pokemon Snap. I mean, I'm not going to play it, but I'd like to see it on my home screen just so that I can remember, you know?
Yeah. Aside from booting into, like, a separate home screen.
Yeah. Anyways, that was a tangent. Brian, what have you been doing?
Let's see, because I've been, like, into a bunch of games this week. I don't even know why, but, I mean, let's see. I started another Fallout 3 game because this time I want to be evil and I want to blow stuff up and be bad. But I only played like the first 10 minutes because I had to pack and leave for E3. But yeah, that's probably what I'm going to do soon.
Okay, wait. Okay, so you went to E3.
Yeah.
And you started with... You led with Fallout 3?
Yeah, I played Fallout 3 for like a few minutes before I went to bed because I need to get up early the next day. I bought it for like $5 off... off GameTZ, I think, or another site.
Okay, do you want to tell us about E3, which sounds a bit more exciting than, like, you know,
Fallout 3? Well, I thought we were talking about what we were playing this week.
And you didn't play anything at E3?
I played a punch at E3, I can talk about that. I thought we were doing that for another segment.
Or we could talk about Fallout 3, I guess.
I'd rather talk about E3, I guess. I mean,
okay.
Fallout 3 is a... 7 years old or whatever, but... Okay, I mean, I could talk about Zelda. I mean, that was, like, the last game I played at E3, and I finally got in after, like, waiting in line, or trying to get in line all day, and lines were crazy. But I finally got in at, like, a few hours before the show closed. And, I got through and I played the game, and, it's a big transition. It's a big... switch from, you know, Ocarina of Time is the game that set Zelda as far as the 3D kind of stuff goes. And games like Wind Waker, Twilight Princess, I guess a few others, they've all kind of emulated Ocarina of Time. This doesn't feel like Ocarina of Time gameplay at all. It feels like something completely new. Just being able to explore that world and seeing what you could do, collecting items, battling enemies, coming across something you have no idea what it is, but you want to, like, figure out how to beat it. That's all really cool. It does feel like an open world. It reminds me a lot of the first Zelda. And they did explain that they did base it off, the original Zelda. And there's a connection because it's an open world. You can go wherever you want. If you don't die, you can go wherever you want. There's no limitations. Unlike in a bunch of previous other games where you had to do... It was a bit more linear, but this is way more open world. They've gone on occasion to say, you know, if you can go and beat Ganon I'm guessing Ganon's the last boss, but whatever. But yeah, you can go and complete the final boss if you want to, like, right away, but, which I think you can do in Zelda 1 as well. I'm not sure, but, it's definitely open world. You can do a bunch of things. A bunch of people came across doing completely different things and, all kinds of different people got through different things and discovered new things. You know, it's very deep. It's very interesting. I'm very interested to see what else is there. What the story is. Where does it fit into the timeline? You know, things like that. And what other gameplay elements they're going to include? You know, what kind of amiibo is going to be in there? But yeah, it was a fascinating game. It's definitely the best game I played at E3.
No,
I just. Sorry, I was just gonna say I love the attention to detail. Like I'm watching this GIF right now of a barefoot Link kicking a treasure chest open and actually hurting his foot doing it.
Oh my gosh, that's great!
Yeah, it's tremendous. I just love the attention to detail of just everything. It's really it's a big leap from previous games. I mean, what Skyward Sword was the last one, and it's so much different. It's fascinating.
Now, Brian, you're playing Twilight Princess, like, pretty recently, right?
I played some of it recently, yeah.
Now, on the new Zelda, how close, like timing wise are like Link's sword swings and stuff. Like I phrase that weirdly. How does the combat timing feel compared to Twilight Princess? Because Twilight Princess was really close to Ocarina, but it was still a little different. Is this completely different, or is it kind of close?
It feels different, because I think... like, I forget what button it was, but they did switch the buttons around. So it's not like I immediately knew where I had to slash the sword. Or you don't even get a sword. I didn't come across the sword. I came across the club. And there's also an axe, I think, you get early on. So I used both of those. And maybe it's different with the sword. I don't know, but... it felt completely different from Twilight Princess in terms of gameplay.
Did you play any Hyrule Warriors?
I think I played one stage, I want to say last year at E3, or it might have been Comic-Con, I don't know, but I played it once. Okay.
Because that game has a lot of different weapons and stuff, and I wonder if they kind of were like, oh, it still feels like Link, even though he has a different kind of weapon.
No, this feels completely different. It doesn't feel like any other Zelda game I've played. It's something completely new.
Now, so for the whole demo, you're on that plateau. How did they keep you on there? Did you just, like, die if you fell off the edge? Because you didn't have the sailcloth thing.
Well, no, when you fall off the ledge, you just go back to where you were and you lose, like, a heart or half a heart. I forget. But, no, you just wandered around for... I think the demo was that for the first part, you would just wander around for, like, 15 minutes and just do whatever and come across whatever. And I died a few times because there was a big statue that was in one of the areas and it, like, pierced me with a laser and I didn't know how to do it, how to protect myself because you get a shield, but shield breaks and then I died, so... Yeah, I don't know about that. And then the second part is all story mode. It's you wake up as Link. You've been asleep for 100 years. You hear the lady's voice, and she gives you a tablet that I guess has some sort of story significance. I don't know what it is, but you use this tablet to pass through and go on to the next several areas. And eventually you do go outside and you do meet an old man who, and eventually it comes, the story is he wants something, he wants you to go through a certain dungeon in order to get something that he wants. And in exchange, he'll show you how to get to Ganon's castle because we see Ganon's castle, well, I think he's called Calamity Ganon here.
Ooh.
And, So you see his castle, like, far away. I think he said that Hyrule Castle has been under siege for the last 100 years. I think that's the story. So maybe some Link's being asleep is tied to that. I don't know. But I know Hyrule Castle is under Ganon's control. And Link doesn't say, but the old man asks him, you know, do you want to go to Ganon's castle? And he's like, yeah. And the old man says, well, okay, but you need to get me this from this certain temple, which is like a few feet away. So you go into that, and I think that's where the demo ended for me. I don't know if it's all a timing kind of thing. It was a timed,
sure.
First part was definitely tied. I don't know about the second one, but that's where I left off. So it was very interesting. I want to see more and I want to play more.
Now, who else do you think worked on this game? Like, do you think it was just the Zelda team, or did you feel like someone else helped them?
Well, we know for a fact, and I don't know if you read this, but Monolith Soft has a lot of team members working on this, and...
Oh, really? Because I remember everyone laughing at me when I said that this was going to be Xenoblade Zelda, and then they show, like, 4 days of Xenoblade Zelda.
Yeah, well, it feels like... Xenoblade, I don't want to say it is, but I can see the resemblance in some ways. It just feels something completely new, though. It feels like there's some Zelda elements, and there might be some of Xenoblade, but it feels like a new experience.
It's the Chronicles of Zelda Blade.
Yeah. Sure.
Because I think most of the people that I was talking to about this granted I wasn't at the show, said that it felt more like The Witcher, except without the experience points.
Yeah, I haven't played The Witcher, so I'm not sure about that. I've been meaning to play that too, but just wandering around in an open world, you kind of get that feeling from, you know, games like just throwing out there, like the Dragon Age, the newest Dragon Age, I kind of feel has like that. I can see The Witcher. It's also an open world kind of deal. The and Skyrim, you know, open world RPGs like that. I kind of get that. See that they got influence from those kind of games. I can definitely see that.
Well, Brian, what did you play anything else that you want to talk about?
As far as Nintendo goes,
was there anything else? Like, what was their booth like?
There was a few. It was just a giant Zelda display with a bunch of artwork in the front, and then when you get inside, when you walk inside, the first thing was a theater kind of setting, and they show you all this footage and how to play and things like that. And once that's over, it opens up like the temples, like when you walk into a temple, it kind of opened up like that, and then you walk into the actual booth, and that's where all the Zelda themed stuff is at, and that's where all the gameplay stations were at. So that's how the booth was. But
they literally had nothing else there, like nothing outside of the Zelda booth.
No, it was all Zelda. It was all Zelda themed.
So did anyone?
There were other Nintendo games, though. I mean, I played Sonic Boom, Fire and Ice.
Oh.
A Sonic of Ice and Fire and Knuckles?
Knuckles is in there, but I didn't play as him. I mean, I didn't play the first Rise of Lyric on the 3DS. I think that's the title. But I talked to the Sega PR guy, and he was telling me how this was more action-oriented, and that is true. It's definitely more action-oriented, and I liked the boss fights, and I liked the racing minigame. I didn't play that, but I can confirm that there is bot pass features, and it includes the bot racing minigame in some way. I think you collect a certain gem, and you get, I think you can customize it. I forget exactly, but the platforming is kind of annoying. There's too many different kinds of mechanics you use to get through a level, and there was one part of the stage where you had to do a bunch of them at the same time, and it was very annoying because you only get about two or three hits before you die. I didn't really...
Hits? Like, you have a health bar? You don't just drop all your coins or your rings?
I think it was both. Kind of forget. I just remember I kept dying. I think it's rings.
Okay.
I remember just kept dying, and it's like very tedious. It's very... You have to use fire and ice powers to go through a level, and I think in one section you have, like, use those powers to make water turn to ice, and then you had to, like, press another button quickly to go to the next area and swing through ropes, I think they were. And then you immediately had to go back and use another mechanic that, you know, it's all bam, bam, bam. And it's, I mean, if I played it more and I had more time to play it, I probably would have gone through it eventually. But as somebody who's just like walking in and playing it for the first time, and now I'm playing like the previous game, it all felt very daunting and kind of, it annoyed me a bit. It's frustrating. I think frustrating and confusing was the word. Confusing was what I put in the preview that's up now. But it's not bad. I'm not going to diss it, and it's not like I'm going to say, well, this is Sonic Boom, so of course it's bad, you know, that kind of mentality. But from when I played, it could be better. I would say that.
Yeah, it sounded a lot like the demo of Rise of Lyric that I think is still on the eShop that you can try, but... Yeah, I put a tentative pre-order down on this thing, but it's going to have a hair trigger, especially considering it's coming out at the end of September, which that month is absolutely loaded for me.
It's crazy, that month.
Wait, why did you pre-order it?
It was on a discount deal. Like, I get 20% off any pre-order I do at E3.
Oh.
And I kind of want to support the developer, but the like the Wii U game was an abortion. 3DS game was okay, but not really worth spending a lot of money on. And this sounds a little bit like more of the same.
So this one, it's like a 2D Sonic, like the first 3DS one was?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Brian, did you play anything good that, like, we might have missed that we should keep our eye on?
What's that?
Did you play anything good that we might have missed that we should keep our eye on?
What else? Bloodstained was really cool. And Bloodstained? That's coming to the Wii U.
What's that?
The Castlevania game.
Oh, the one from, like, Kickstarter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that one. That really felt like an HD Castlevania game, but it has kind of like those gameplay elements, but at the same time, it felt really new and it felt different. And yeah, I really enjoyed playing that. Final Fantasy XV I also played, which the boss fight was okay. I mean, it's one of those situations where I need to get used to controls and all that, and this kind of like throws you into a boss fight out of nowhere, but I got the hang of things. It was pretty good. Not much more to say about that. It really looks and feels modern. It doesn't feel like a game that's been in development for 10 years. So that's kind of a good thing.
I'm so tired of Final Fantasy 15.
Well, get ready because there's like 15 different spinoffs that they're going to push over the next few months.
One of them is like a GameStop exclusive pre-order bonus.
Yeah,
and one of them is a virtual reality shooting game.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. There's a movie. I think there's an anime. There's a 2D brawler, which I think is the GameStop exclusive. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
There's the VR part, which is I think like you play as one of the other characters, and it's not that interesting. I didn't play it, but that's what I've heard. There's a bunch of stuff. They're going all out on this game, and they want to make sure it sells a bunch of copies, because I think they kind of need to.
They need to make some money back on this game, because it's been in development since I was still in university. That was 10 years ago.
I was a senior in high school.
You guys are old.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Sadly.
No. Yeah, well, Brian, do you have anything else for E3 you want to tell us about?
No, just that I had a great time with the staff, and, I'm looking forward to Zelda big time. That demo was really great, and it's probably the best game I played over there. I also played I Am Setsuna, which is, I only played like a few minutes, but it did feel like an older, style RPG, which I like, because keeps things simple. I just like games that keep it simple. But yeah, I had a great time over there. I always enjoy going to E3, so I am definitely thinking of going again next year. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, I've always wanted to go. Someday I'll go. Hopefully yeah. I make it there before it like ends forever. Because it's, I don't know.
Why do I keep hearing that rumor like E3 is going to close? I mean, 70,000 people came this year.
That's it.
I mean, you do get that feeling though that other companies are pulling out. I mean, Activision wasn't there. I don't think EA had a booth this year. I mean,
EA had their own event.
Oh yeah. Well, that's true. They had their stream at the start of the show at the start of the week. But I mean, it's a weird situation because you do see other companies pulling out. And they just want to kind of do their own thing. And I think a lot of people were turned off when Nintendo did their announcements. And I mean, understandably so, because, you know, nobody had seen Zelda. And yeah. People were wondering, like, what the hell is Nintendo thinking? Like, why are they only showing one game? Why did they delay the NX? Things like that. But after the show ended, I mean, what was the game everybody was talking about? Zelda.
Yeah.
So I mean, they kind of won the show there, with that kind of mentality.
But I would have been bummed if I spent, like, a bunch of money on a ticket, and I took off work.
Oh, yeah,
and
sure.
I got a hotel, and I went there and got to play Zelda for 30 minutes. And, like...
That's true. I mean, it's... For somebody like me who lives 4 hours away, it wasn't that big of a deal. I only went for... Well, I actually got there early when I arrived, so I did spend a few hours there on Wednesday, but I only spent one full day on Thursday, and that's all I really needed. I mean, going there for 3 days is... Especially if you're a site covering Nintendo, and you're somebody who's not in the state. I mean, I totally understand why you wouldn't go. I mean, it's I don't think it's cost productive. I don't think so, anyway.
Yeah, I'm not booking anything as far as E3 travel next year until I have proof that Nintendo is bringing more than a single game.
Well, we'll talk about what they're bringing next year after the break, but first I'm going to tell you about what I've been playing, which isn't very much, but I should have gone before Brian because Brian had the best. So I beat that Strider game I was playing, and I was very satisfied. I was kind of bummed because I, like, saved outside of the final, like, area, and I was like, I'm having so much fun. I'm excited to continue playing this game. And when I came back the next time, I went to the final area, and it was like, if you go here, you can never return. And I was like, no, I'm at the end of the game already. Like, I don't know. I was kind of surprised that it ended, but it was still good. I was happy with it. Then I got Settlers of Catan on my phone, which isn't like the games that we kind of normally talk about on here, but it's a board game on my phone, and I play it online with people, like people that I know. And it's nice because it's hard to get, like, a bunch of people in a room to play a board game that requires a decent amount of setup. Yeah. So, it's cool. It's well done. I hate all the AI. They're all, like, really good at the game. Very aggressively try to trade with you. Like, if you say no, then they'll try to trade with you again, like, immediately afterwards. I don't know if either of you guys have ever played Settlers of Catan, but...
I've heard of the name. Is it like a board game, or what is it exactly?
Yeah, it's a board game.
And is this for Windows or something, or phone, or
no? It's a board game. I got the app on my phone.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's a board game. Okay.
Yeah, I think there's also a 360 version of it, but I don't know how active it would be right now.
But probably not very.
Yeah, it's a very fun board game. But it's kind of expensive. Like, the base set is like $50, but but the app was like $4.
Hmm.
So that was like way worth it. I mean, I have the base set. I got it for Christmas, but I don't really want to, like, you know, bring that to other people's houses while there's like pizza and drinks around. Like, oh, let's spill stuff on your $50 game. Like, no, we're going to set that aside, keep it nice. And then you guys can buy the app.
Yeah, the only place I've really played it actually was at a special cafe in my area that actually has nothing but board games in it.
Yeah.
So getting stuff spilled on it, well, that's not my problem.
Yeah, it's fun. And then I've had PlayStation Plus since, like, it came out, so I have just a random collection of games that I've never heard of. So I turned on my PS4, and I was like, what should I play? And I was scrolling through it, I keep forgetting what this game is called, so I pulled it up here. Okay, it's Nova 111, or Nova 111, or something like that. But it's really cool. You're this really cute little spaceship, and the whole world is grid-based. And you, like, every time you move one, all the enemies and the puzzles and stuff move one. And it's kind of like affordable space adventure, where you're a spaceship in space, and you keep, like, upgrading your ship, and you have to use your upgrades to get past the obstacles. But everything is on this really weird, like, turn-based system, where most enemies will only move when you move. But every once in a while, you'll get an enemy that, like, is on a little timer, and then, like, it'll explode, or it'll shoot when its timer is done. So you have to do your turn quickly so that you don't get blown up, but then, like, the other enemies will attack you while you're trying to do that, so It's really cute, and I like it. And if anyone has it, like, I would definitely recommend playing it. I don't know how much it is on the store or anything, but I'm having fun with it.
And I seen it, yeah, we have, it actually came out on Wii U last year as well, so that is an option. And it, and because of it's a curved digital game, when they do a sale, they really do a sale, so you might be able to get it cheap in a couple of weeks, for all we know.
Cool. Yeah, I might try that out. That sounds, something like I'll give it a try at least.
Yeah, I don't know how much farther I'll get. Like, it, I played it for a few hours today, and it started to get a little hard. And if it gets too hard, I'll probably just stop playing it. But for now, I plan on, like, probably playing it after we get out here.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, anyways, that's what we've been doing, and we're going to take a break. And when we get back, we have a prediction from a listener for next year's E3, and then we'll talk about next year's E3 ourselves. We have an E3 2017 prediction from Citizen Ryan 82 on Twitter. Donald, do you want to read that?
All right. E3 2017 predictions. LXNX still isn't released, but will be shown with Zelda Breath of the Wind, and Metroid NX is shown for the first time. Also, Mother 3 is finally revealed as an NX exclusive. It will be sold in the eShop and as part of a physical bundle with Mother 1 and 2.
I think the NX will come out when they said it was, which is March. I fully believe that because just by playing Zelda, I think that game is close to being done, and they've already kind of delayed the NX from this year to early next year, so I don't think it's going to get another delay. I mean, I could be wrong, but that's just my feeling on it.
I think that it wasn't ready, and they said March, just because they said fiscal year 2016.
Yeah.
So, you know, March is when the fiscal year ends, so.
Sure.
I could see it slipping, but they it's definitely possible. Wouldn't want it to slip.
I think it's going to come out, and we're going to wish it didn't. Kind of like the 3DS did.
And the Wii U.
Except this time they'll have the double carrot of Zelda and something else, maybe Smash Brothers, maybe a Mario. Although they said that the Mario game is going to be at E3 next year, so who knows?
Did they say that there's going to be a new Mario game next year?
Miyamoto kind of sort of confirmed it in the same way he confirmed that Pikmin 4 was in development.
Mm.
It's like he basically said, "Yeah, we're thinking of something different with Mario, and we hope to bring it here next year."
Hmm. I mean, the problem with, I mean, I don't want to, like, call out Miyamoto here, but for many years he said the same thing about Pikmin 3, and it took a long time for that game to come out. So, I mean, I'm sure they have something in development. It's not that, but I don't know if we'll see it, like, next year. It's always possible, but I don't, like, fully believe it yet.
I just love that Miyamoto just kind of says things. Like, when he was when he was on the Zelda stream, like, whoever was playing was running around, like, Naked Link. And Miyamoto is like, oh, yeah, this is funny. You can go and fight Ganon in your underwear if you want. And someone gave him, like, a look, like, ha, ha, ha. Like, Ganon's the boss, I guess.
Yeah, and he did that on the Pokemon Go stream on day 2 of E3 this year, too. Like, he kind of let slip that the Pokemon Go Plus is going to be out at the end of July.
Oh, yeah. And Nintendo was like, we're aiming for July.
Tell that to Amazon. They're taking pre-orders for it in July.
Yeah.
I have no interest in... I mean, I have interest in Pokemon Go, but I don't have any interest in a thingamabob or whatever it is. I don't even know what it does.
It's an accessory. It's a dongle. Okay, so on Pokemon Go, you're supposed to stare at your phone all day, and Pokemon will show up while you walk around, and then you catch them. But if you have the thing, it lights up, and you just push the button, and it catches it. Yeah.
That's nice.
You can play the game, but you don't even have to play the game to play the game.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I'm totally getting one.
The idea sounds cool, but what do you do after you catch the Pokemon? What can you do? I mean, that's, like, my question.
You can place them in gyms or use them to battle gyms. And you can combine them to evolve them. You need, like, 10 Squirtles to get a Wartortle or something. You play Pokemon.
That's weird.
You collect them and you battle them and you try and be a Pokemon master.
This seems kind of like, I mean, do you like to set up gyms in hometowns and stuff? Because it kind of sounds like what a Pokemon MMO might kind of be.
Yeah.
That's my, like,
yeah, it's a Pokemon thought. MMO. Yeah, so there will be a gym, like, the post office down the street will be a gym. With Ingress, every government building was a portal the day it came out. And I feel like they might use those portals again to just be the gyms, or they might just start off with, like, the government building, because they're publicly owned, so you can go there and play the game or whatever, like, you're allowed to do that, was their reasoning.
I'm just thinking, like, it would be hard for, like, people to collect everything, because you have to, like, go out. I guess somebody who does, like me, who doesn't like to go out doesn't like that idea, but... Yeah, it seems kind of hard to collect them all. I mean, I guess the goal wouldn't be to catch them all, but to just kind of play the game and try to collect as many Pokemon as you can.
Yeah, it was nice of them. They said that they were going to phase in more generations as they went. So it's kind of nice that we're just starting with, like, a realistic number of Pokemon to catch.
Is it, like, just the first 151?
Yeah, they're going to release more gens down the line.
Okay.
Yeah. Getting back to year's E3, though, what do we see coming out of above Nintendo next year, assuming they have more than one game again?
I don't know.
I think it's going to be Mario.
Sure, yeah.
I would imagine
that. There has to be some sort of Mario shown there.
Or they might do two Marios again. I know the N64 came out with Mario and Mario Kart. Maybe that would be an easy port to just make Mario Kart 9 and be like, hey, look, it's Mario Kart. It's a new one.
I think they'd want to have that as, like, second Christmas, because I think next year we're going to have more than one game, because it's going to be really weird when the NX makes its A3 debut when it's already in the hands of real people.
Yeah.
But I think we're probably going to see, like, I think we'll find out that Splatoon is the big, like, Splatoon 2 or whatever is the big hit game of the show, because it's the big holiday game for the next console. But I also think we're going to see hardware there, because I think they're going to need to roll out a 3DS successor at that time as well.
I think that we're getting the 3DS successor in March and the Wii U successor at Christmas. But a lot of people disagree with me.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the Wii U schedule the rest of the year, they are taking that thing out back and giving it the old Yeller treatment. They have one game after June 24th for the Wii U.
Paper Mario.
Then, yeah, and then next year they've got Zelda, but that's also coming out on the NX. So I think there's no chance in hell that this thing is a handheld at this point.
I don't know. No matter how many facts you throw at me, you can't defeat my made-up facts in my head.
Yeah, it's kind of like me in Final Fantasy XV being delayed another 6 months.
You really think it's going to be delayed again?
I thought they were going to announce it at E3.
I think that's kind of impossible, given the fact that there's already been so many delays, and it's...
They bought Los Angeles to advertise this thing.
There was advertising everywhere for that game. It would be crazy.
They did.
It was delayed again.
They did have that live demo that totally sucked. Like, that guy was fighting that giant boss, and he just kept getting hit and dying, and it didn't look
that's
like...
That's what happened to me.
It didn't look like he was having any fun. Yeah, but they put it up on the internet, on the big screen, for everyone in the whole world to see, like, look at how little fun this employee of ours is having playing this game. Like, it just made me, like, I don't...
Like...
On a slog like,
I didn't mind that demo a ton, but I don't know why you would do that one. It wasn't bad, but it's like you need to ease it more. You need to ease people more into what the game is, not just a big boss battle.
And it was confusing. Like, they were hitting it for a while, but they were just losing a lot. And then they froze it, and right when they froze it, it died. And it was like, why didn't you just freeze it earlier? You know how to play this game. You made this game.
I tried using Blizzara at first, and nothing really happened. But I just thought there was like one point in the boss battle where it just says, you use Blizzara. So I did, and then it died. So, I don't know.
But yeah, next year, I think it'll be Mario. Just because it's been a long time since 3D World. It's been a long time since Galaxy. It's time. It's time for Mario. Because Splatoon 2, I think that'll be with Mario Kart and kind of like the, look, we have a bunch of like second tier games, you know, like maybe Donkey Kong Country Returns 3 or a Metroid. Like, Splatoon,
I wouldn't call Splatoon a B tier franchise at this point, though, because.
Well, Nintendo.
It did really well.
No, that's fine. Nintendo does well with everything, but their top three are Mario, Zelda, and Pokemon. Those are their A's. And then their second tier would be like Mario Kart, Splatoon, I don't know, maybe Mario Party. I don't know how those sell anymore.
Not anymore.
Okay, not anymore. But you know what
you
I
might
mean.
You could probably say the second tier, I guess, would be Splatoon and Fire Emblem.
Oh, yeah, Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem's up there now. I mean, I didn't think that, I thought people were going to be turned off by the last one because there's like two different games, but they did really well. People still like Fire Emblem here, so that's cool. I like Fire Emblem too, so works for me.
You know what? I bet that it's going to be next year at Nintendo's booth we're going to see like Final Fantasy XV and Persona 5 and... Like, I don't know, whatever was shown this year is going to be shown next year at Nintendo's booth.
I personally think it's going to take a lot for third parties to get back to the Wii U. I mean, not Wii U, NX. Because you did hear Ubisoft announce a new Just Dance for the NX, and that's kind of like the first game, aside from Zelda, that we know for the NX, and when I heard that, I just kind of get that feeling like, they're going to go with Just Dance, but is Ubisoft like really going to go with other games, or...
Yeah, and how's that going to work on a handheld?
I don't know.
That's why it's not a handheld.
Yeah,
there you go. I still think, as far as the NX goes, I think it's going to be a home console, but with like a controller that can kind of serve as like a portable system. That's my mentality on that still.
Yeah,
that's... Could be wrong, but that's what I think.
I believe that.
Because you did hear those rumors last year that it was going to be two separate things, and there was a portable console and there was a home console, but they're going to delay one. but I think it's they're both one system, and you could detach the controller and have it be a portable. I don't know how that would work, but that would probably seem to be the best bet, probably.
As long as it can go, as long as I can put it in standby for a full day and not lose 2 bars of battery on the portable, I'm good. But it's hard. It's so hard to predict a year out because, I mean, we have like 98% of what we know or of what we should know going in. If we're trying to do E3 predictions, we don't know right now just because the NX is going to be so different. And we know that the 3DS probably has 2 games for 2017 at this point. And then what else are they going to do? So they're going to have to iterate on it.
Well, here, let's go back to Citizen Ryan's question. Do you guys think that we'll see Metroid for NX next year?
Maybe something. I mean, I know there's a huge backlash over Federation Force, and I think even Nintendo knows that. So they might try to do something to where they would please Metroid fans by doing something. Maybe at least a tease at most. I think Nintendo was really surprised by just how big the backlash was over a Federation Force, and it's kind of unwarranted, because I played the demo at last year's E3, and it wasn't bad at all. Like, that was a minigame. You know...
I think we'll see something from Retro at E3 next year,
Donkey Kong Country Returns 3?
I think in terms of priority, I've got Retro with a new IP, then Donkey Kong, then Metroid.
Oh. Yeah. Now, what do you think we'll see first? Do you think we'll see a 2D Metroid or a 3D Metroid first? After Federation Force?
3D.
Yeah.
Unless they're really doubling down on smaller game development on this thing as well, I don't think they can get away with charging retail price for a 2D Metroid on a console in this day and age.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, Super Metroid takes like 2 hours to beat.
It does? I didn't know that.
Yeah, don't you have to beat it under 3 hours to like get the good ending?
Yeah, but that's like when you get the good ending. I mean, if you're playing it for like the first time, it wouldn't take 2 hours. Probably take a little bit more.
Yeah, the first time it took me like a really long time.
Yeah. And once you, with those kind of games, if you beat it a few times, yeah, you can do it in a really quick time, but, yeah. I mean, I don't see the new Metroid being a 2D game, even though I would kind of like that, because, last few 2D Metroid games were really awesome. But, I think they know what direction they're going with Metroid, and it's most likely 3D.
I don't know. I'm putting my money down on Federation Force 2. Will be the next Metroid game.
Yeah, because that's another interesting variable, though. Like, if they put out Metroid and it doesn't sell, or Federation Force, and it doesn't sell well at all, I mean, that can kind of be like the thing where Nintendo goes, oh, you don't really want to support Metroid, so no more Metroid games. Something like that. That can be kind of scary and kind of piss off fans.
The only reason I could see them not doing that, honestly, after the Aonuma, we don't have a female Link because reasons stuff this year, I don't think they'll ever retire Metroid, just because it's like one of the few strong female-led series that they have at this point.
I would agree with that. Yeah. Especially in this day and age,
Splatoon now.
With the female Linkling being the one that's dominant, yeah, I sort of see where you're coming from, but that's a generic character, whereas Samus, like what they did with it in Other M or not, has a defined character. Yeah,
but that's what they started like a comic series in Japan. We don't know what's in store in Splatoon 2. It could have a story mode. Like, they could run with that character if they feel like they can't be successful with Metroid, and they're like, oh, well, we have this female character, Inklina, or whatever they want to name her.
Sure. I mean, yeah. I don't. Now that you mentioned that, I don't think they're going to tie in Metroid. I mean, Samus is a really strong, good female character, and I can see her being in more games in the future, but I just don't see. I mean, I can see Nintendo being upset or the whole Federation Force thing and maybe not do one for a while. And then there's also like that thing with Star Fox and that, I don't know how Star Fox last one, Zero, I don't know how sales did, but you kind of get that vibe that didn't do that well and there's probably not, like, I don't want to say there's no future in Star Fox, but it's kind of questionable now.
Yeah, it charted in the first month in the U.S., but not all that well, and yeah. It's pretty much dropped off like a rock since. Although, I've heard of people getting $40 for trade for it still, so around here, so it's got to be holding its value somewhat.
Sure, but I just kind of see people getting turned off by Federation Forcing, just kind of see Nintendo going like, well, I guess you don't want to see more Metroid either. I mean, even though that, like, the overall discussion is, we want to see Samus, we want a proper Metroid Prime game, or just a proper Metroid game in general, and Nintendo kind of went in this direction, and it's kind of like, I can kind of understand people being mad, but, It's a weird situation with Metroid right now. I think that's easy to say.
So you guys don't think that Metroid Prime 4 is going to show up next year?
If it does, it'll be like I don't think it'll be like playable or anything, but I think we might get like a hint of something coming up in the Metroid series. I don't know if it's like going to be 4 or Metroid Prime 4. It might be something completely new, but I mean, who knows? But if I had to guess, I would say in some form, yeah.
Yeah, I think if we see I don't think we're going to see a Metroid Prime, but if there may be a Metroid there somewhere.
Like, yeah. Do you think it'd be a different studio, or do you think it'd be Retro?
It'd be a different studio, because the people well, let's put it this way, the people who made Metroid Prime are now making games for Keiji Inafune.
Oh.
Which should say a lot.
Really? That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, they went on to form Armature, and they're making ReCore right now for Microsoft and help with Keiji Inafune.
Well, so they weren't the ones behind Mayan number 9, right?
Right. That was that was Inafune with Inti Creates, although I think that was heavily Inafune anyway.
Yeah. Huh. That was one game I wanted to play at E3, but lines were pretty long, so I didn't get in line. I've heard positive things, I think.
I played a backer beta from a friend of mine, and it didn't play well, and I don't think... And most of what they delayed it for was to fix bugs, so that's probably pretty accurate as to what it's going to end up being.
I could see maybe a Kid Icarus 2 showing up.
Did the first one sell that well?
Not really, but it sold well for how many 3DSs it sold at the time.
I guess it depends on the mood, I guess, of Nintendo of Japan or whatever, because, you know, nobody was really asking for, like, a new Luigi's Mansion, for example. I mean, maybe that's just me, because I never got into that series, but when I heard that there's a new Luigi's Mansion now, I was kind of like, what? But, yeah, I mean, I could see another Kid Icarus, sure. I guess it all depends on what Sakurai wants to do, because I think he's kind of heading that series right now.
Yeah, he said he didn't want to do another one, but he says that every time he makes a game. He's like, oh, I never want to make one of those again, but he's made, like...
Yeah, I feel bad for him, because he always talks about how he works very hard, and I think... I heard a bunch of stuff about how his health was towards the end of these Smash Brothers games, so I kind of feel bad for him, but oh well.
Now, one big thing that's been going on with different console people or different console makers is they're starting to add in mods. Like, there was the new version of Skyrim is going to support mods on consoles. Do you guys think that the NX will ever support mods?
I think they'll have the hooks in there, because one of the things that's been heavily rumored about the NX is that it's very easy to port from PS4 and Xbox One. So I'm thinking that support comes along for the ride, but that would definitely go a long way to getting people who maybe aren't so technically competent like Bethesda into the NX, because they know that people can fix the games for them.
You know what, though? I don't see Nintendo making mods for their own games, though. They're way too protective of their IPs to do that. Way too protective. I don't see that at all.
Yeah, it's not a matter of Nintendo offering. It's that they give that ability for third parties to use it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Because mods are a very, like, PC game thing. Like, you know, when you think of PC games, you think of, like, big open world games. Just things that are kind of endless already, so you just add mods and play it more. But Nintendo games are usually like single player adventures, so you don't really mod those a lot.
Sure. Yeah. But, third parties are, it's gonna be interesting in the next system, because are people gonna be interested? I think we kind of talked about this already, but I'm not sure if everybody's good. I think people will jump on board at first because it's a new system and there's always that hope. And I'm sure Nintendo's going to show something that people will be interested in, but do I see it happening in 6 months after the release? That's the question, I think, because I think the Wii U always, not the Wii, Wii U, the Wii had some strong third-party support, but it was in other ways, not exactly like killer ports of 360 or PS3 games, but
yeah, because they couldn't handle it.
Yeah, but if they can port PS4 and Xbox One games over to Wii U to NX, I think that might be in their favor. I think that might help a lot with third party stuff, because I mean, you don't see any ports from PS3, PS4, or whatever to Wii U, because I think it's structured differently. I mean, I don't know, like, the big time technical details, but, there's a lot of stuff on Wii U PS4 and Xbox One or PS3 and 360 that aren't on the Wii U.
Well, the problem is that they tried some of that when the Wii U came out, and those things sold like crap.
That, like, too. I mean,
you had two Assassin's Creed games, two Call of Duty games that were straight ports from the 360 and PS3 versions, and they tanked.
Yeah, but that's not fair, because the first Assassin's Creed game didn't come out later on the Wii U?
By like 2 weeks.
And then the second Assassin's Creed game launched on like more powerful consoles at the same time, didn't they?
Yeah, that was Black Flag, and that was also on PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah, those were launch games for that. So it's...
Yeah. I mean, Wii U got Watch Dogs, but it was 6 months late.
Was it only 6 months late?
Yeah.
It felt like longer.
But yeah, I think what Nintendo has to do, like, they have to show strength with this thing out of the gate, and they have to have basically a turnkey solution that an intern can port something from PS4 or Xbox One, because despite what happened at E3 this year, it seems like the consoles are still going to support the current PS4 and Xbox One for several years.
Yeah.
The intern basically needs to be able to do that with an afternoon.
They also need to find a way of getting third parties back into Nintendo and going, you know, there is a reason why you should port your stuff into the NX, and here's why. They need to find a reason, because I can see there's a reason why third-party support dropped off quickly for NX, for Wii U, because nobody bought Assassin's Creed or Watch Dogs or any of these games, so it's a tough sell. I mean, even for a new system, I'm sure we'll get some third-party stuff, I'm sure we will get some mainstream stuff, but How do you keep supporting that after? I mean, are these ports going to sell? I mean, that's the big question. It's how can you make these cost productive for third parties to actually put these games on a Nintendo system again?
The only way is to, like, do it for them.
Yeah, like hammer at home.
Yeah, like if Nintendo puts up a lot of money to bring games over.
Yeah, because it's like, well, yeah, they showed off, I mean, I remember seeing the games, first third-party games for Wii U, which was like a Batman game, I think Mass Effect 3, maybe one or two that I forget about. But I saw those in the trailer. I think it was for when they first showed off the Wii U. But then I never heard Nintendo talk about them again. So it's kind of like, yeah, I kind of get why these games didn't sell, because Nintendo didn't go out of their way to really promote them. It's just, oh yeah, you can play these games too if you want.
Yeah, I don't know, man. They devoted a lot of time at their last E3 press conference in 2012 to Batman Arkham City's coming, and here's why it's playable on Wii U a year later, and here's Zombie U, this original game from Ubisoft, which ended up getting ported to PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah.
Wasn't it free on PlayStation Plus recently?
It was. Yeah.
Really? I forget. I didn't know.
Yeah, a friend of mine called me, and he was like, dude, like, you should go look at the PlayStation Store. There's this total ripoff of Last of Us. Like, I can't believe it. It's just there. Go look at it. And I pull it up, and I was like, you're talking about this zombie game? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, that game came out before The Last of Us. And I just was so upset with him. Like, no one knew about that game. Like, I don't remember a single commercial for it.
I heard that Zombie was in development for PS4 and Xbox One, but I didn't hear it got released.
Yeah, it came out about this time last year. It was a download-only game. I think it was like $15.
Okay. Yeah, I can imagine why. It's kind of like a very old, well, not very old, but kind of old game from a few years ago. So yeah, I can see why they went that route.
But yeah, Nintendo needs to promote things, because they're not just promoting like someone else's game. They're promoting their own console. And if people don't get their console, then even if they promote their own games, like, people won't buy them if they don't have the console.
It's a tough sell, because, I mean, I could just see people going, well, yeah, this is cool, but I can play this game on the PS4 I already have, so they don't buy the NX version. I can see that still. It's very tough, because, I mean, what can you do to get these people into going, well, now I want the NX version, or I want, yeah, I mean, it's a tough thing to do, but I kind of wish Nintendo knew what to do, because I would kind of, if I could only have one system, it would be whatever Nintendo is, but it's tough, because there's not really any third-party support for the Wii U. I mean, and there's not, it's always been weaker in comparison to what Xbox and what PS and what Sony has, so they kind of need to do something. I don't know what. But yeah, it's tough.
Well, anyways, I'm sure that next E3 will be very nice, and we will all say nice things about it.
It's confirmed to be happening, so
it is. We'll see who's
there.
That's more than I gave them credit for, honestly.
We'll see who's there. I mean, I'm sure Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo will all be there, but in what form? It's always interesting for Nintendo, because they keep doing different things each year, which, I mean, is kind of cool, but at the same time, it's kind of like, I just wish kind of at a conference. That would be kind of cool, but, I mean, it's Nintendo, they always have to be different, and most of the time it's a good thing, and sometimes it's not. Nintendo.
Well, did you guys have anything else to add?
Nope.
No. I don't want to even think about E3 right now until about April of next year.
Yeah. I hope Nintendo has sets out their plans earlier than what came out this year. When did they announce that they weren't going to do they were only going to show Zelda? Was it like May?
It was very late in April. It was when they did their financial results.
Yeah. I think it would be more beneficial if they did that at the start of the month as opposed to the late April, because people need to make plans, and if you're only going to show one game, then it's like, well, kind of need to change these plans, especially if you're out of state and stuff like that.
Or out of country.
Yeah, true.
Or out of planet.
Sure. What, are you not from this Earth?
No, I'm actually on the fucking sun.
Oh.
It is.
Then it's kind of hot out there right now, isn't it?
It is. It is. I don't know what it is in Celsius, but Fahrenheit, it's fucking hot.
Mm, yeah. Maybe put on some sunscreen or something.
Some sunscreen?
Sure.
I don't know how effective that would be up here on the sun.
It's worth a shot.
Alright, I guess we should probably end the episode. So I'm Adam. There's also Donald and Brian. You should send your listener mail to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. And tweet at us. Oh shit. Do you guys know the Twitter?
@connectivitynwr.
There you go, Donald. @connectivitynwr.
And hey, if you liked what you heard, and how could you, you can kick on over to patreon.com/nwr and, throw a few dollars a month our way to keep pumping out new and exclusive content.
Yeah, thank you, Donald.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure that you're allowed to pick topics for us, too. So sometimes we don't pick very good ones, so maybe suggest some over there for us.
Yeah, and there's also a... if you want to go back in the archives a little bit, there's also an exclusive podcast there for Patreon listeners. Or Patreon donators.
All right. Yep. Yeah. That sounds good. I mean, that's awesome. Okay. Yeah. I really enjoy doing the Patreon-only podcast, so give that a listen. It's great.
Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. We promise Nick will be back. He didn't actually die. So, bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Good job, team.
Awesome.
You did it.
Not bad.
Does someone have a dog?
Yeah, that's me.
Oh my gosh, I love dogs. What kind of dog? What does he look like?
He's like a pit bull boxer mix.
Oh my gosh, what's his name?
Bowser.
Oh, that's great.